Welcome to Alternative Perspectives. Sorry, I got to get the volume up here a little bit. You are listening to WRFG 89.3 Atlanta, and this is Alternative Perspectives. We are the only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and thank you so much for listening. Before we go any further, I want to say that the opinions expressed here are only those of myself and my guest, and we have a good one today, and they do not necessarily represent the opinions of WRFG staff, volunteers, funders, listeners, or really anybody else except me and my guest. But as you know by now, everything I say is right, so you really shouldn't have any problems there. So with me in the studio tonight, we have Eric Polk, and Eric is with the Georgia Equality Project here in Georgia. Say hello, Eric.
Hey, everyone. How are you?
Can't hear you yet. Okay, try it again.
Hey, everyone.
Still can't hear you. Hold on one second. Try one more time.
How about that, Greg?
It does not sound good. Try it now. It still does not sound good. All right. Well, this is definitely a problem. So we will work on that momentarily. You know what we could do is why don't we switch to another mic? Switch to mic number 3 and let's see if that's any better. But while he's doing that, Eric serves as the HIV policy organizer for Georgia Equality. And see if that works.
How about that?
You're back. You sound wonderful. All right. Okay, great. Where Eric serves as the HIV policy organizer. The 2019 Georgia legislative session began on January 4th of this year with a new governor, a new lieutenant governor, a new secretary of state, all new people. So Eric is here to talk about a number of things. We are going to talk about what's in store this year for the legislature. Since Eric is actually the HIV policy coordinator, that's kind of his baby, he's also here to talk about policy initiatives of the Equality Project that are aimed at combating HIV. And there's actually a big thing happening, and we'll go ahead and mention it now. What's happening on Thursday of this week?
So this week we're having our HIV lobby day at the Capitol. So we want folks to come out and support some of the good policy work that we're doing at Georgia Equality. Have folks come and talk to their representatives about really supporting good policies and good laws that protect people who are living with HIV and communities that are vulnerable to HIV acquisition.
Cool. And we're going to talk more about that later. But before we start, I do want to give a few minutes of news. And I'm calling this segment Queer News of the World. I was going to say News of the Queer, but that didn't sound good to me.
I don't think so.
Eric says no. All right. So we're going to start. So this is Queer News of the World, just for a few minutes here. We're going to start locally, and this is something that Eric knows a bit about. The Fulton County Board of Commissioners has added $670,000 to help fight HIV and AIDS in Fulton County. The money will fund 9 new healthcare specialists and expand the availability of PrEP, which is the HIV preventative medicine that most sexually active people are taking. Men, do women take PrEP as well?
PrEP is for women as well. I think it's a misnomer sometimes that, just for men.
Probably because men tend to be a little bit more sexually, what am I thinking of? Maybe I should stop right here while I'm behind. All right. So anyway, this is $670,000 that has been added, and it is part of nearly $1.2 million increase in funding for the Fulton County Board of Health in their 2019 budget that was just approved on January the 23rd. Melanie Thompson, the interim chair of the Fulton County HIV/AIDS Prevention Care and Policy Advisory Committee, that's a lot of words, called it the first step towards ensuring adequate health department services. Fulton has the second highest rate, and this surprised me. Fulton County has the second highest rate of new HIV diagnoses in the country if you look at counties with 100,000 people or more. This is according to the CDC. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think this was a great move by the Fulton County commissioners to allocate this resources, much needed resources.
Yeah.
Shout out to Commissioner Paul, who was, you know, very instrumental in making sure that this happened, and the task force, Dr. Thompson and Jeff Ram, who's also on the task force, and really making sure that this happened.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was going to say, it's Commissioner Natalie Hall, District 4,
yeah,
who really worked behind the scenes to make this happen.
She's my commissioner.
Oh, is she?
She is.
Okay, all right. Is she my commissioner? I don't know. I think I'm District 5. In fact, I know I'm District 5. All right. So that's one local piece of news. Another local piece of news, which I found interesting, I don't know if you know about this. I'm sure you do. But apparently, the Atlanta City Detention Center, the Atlanta Jail, which is at 245 Peachtree Street, it's kind of downtown right before you get to Memorial Drive, and this building I've looked at for years, and it's slated to be closed. At least the city council is planning on closing it. The question, well, first of all, I was like, well, what was this thing doing anyway? So this is a 1,300-bed facility that was opened in 1995 at a cost of $56 million. And in 2018, their operating costs reached $33 million and included 360 employees, which would be fine, except for the price is losing money, apparently. The center has never reached capacity, partially due to Fulton and DeKalb County jails that operate nearby. And the nightly inmate population continues to decrease, with most being held because of contracts with the federal or state government, so not the city itself. In February and June of this year, the city implemented two additional policies that have led to a decline in inmates. Do you know what those are, Eric? I'm testing you. One is the elimination of cash bail bonds for certain nonviolent offenses, and the other one has to do with what's happening nationally.
With ICE.
Yeah, with ICE. So it used to be that we were accepting detainees. We no longer are.
We no longer are, no.
Yeah, so not being me and Eric being the city of Atlanta. So anyway, why is this relevant? You know, the building's there, and so Marilyn Wynn, who's the director of an organization called Women on the Rise, she calls the Atlanta Detention Center the extra jail. It's never really been used. It's never really been about improving public safety. And it's been used to hide people that are really struggling. It's basically what it is. So the city that part's not relevant. And so basically what she's suggesting that they do is take this jail and turn it into a wellness center that would combat the city's HIV epidemic. So I don't know. What do you think the chances are of that happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of really great grassroots efforts happening around the best use for the jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely one of them. You know, some people are, you know, thinking about, like, what does it look like to actually sell the property and then utilize those funds from the sale of the property to create additional funding for areas like HIV.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great conversations happening within the community with a lot of really great grassroots organizations about the best way to figure out how to use that in a way that's going to, like, best amplify the needs of the city.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, so moving outward, now we have a national thing that happened in Florida, which is very depressing. So U.S. federal man, well, I'm going to start this way. This has to do with gay cure therapy. So there has been, since it has been decided that gay cure therapy is kind of ridiculous, I think the founder of the original group that did it came out as gay and closed and said it was ridiculousness. But anyway, so there's a number of states and cities that have enacted ordinances to ban gay cure therapy. And one was in 2017 in Tampa, Florida, and they sought to outlaw conversion therapy to minors. So not to majors, but to minors, or not to adults. So similar laws are in around 15 states across the country and other cities. Well, a U.S. federal magistrate judge said that we should ban that. I guess that she said that the ban on gay cure therapy should be blocked because it violates free speech protections. This just happened a couple of days ago. And her name, if you want to email her, in the January 30th opinion, so this just happened a few days ago, Magistrate Judge Amanda Arnold Sansone sided with the evangelical group's bid to seek an injunction to block the ordinance. So they're trying to block the ordinance. And actually the group that's trying to block the ordinance is an evangelical law firm called Liberty Counsel. And you may know Liberty Counsel. They're best known for representing the Kentucky clerk, Kim Davis, when she refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
Yeah.
You know, she eventually lost. In fact, I think she ended up having to pay back legal fees or something.
Yes, she's on the hook for legal fees now. So.
Awesome. But anyway, so this is Liberty Counsel. And, you know, it's an interesting question. You know, she's saying, the judge is saying that it restrains free speech. So, and in a way, I can kind of see what the point is, but there are challenges against this, against these bans on conversion therapy throughout the country, and so everybody else is looking to see what's going to happen, because the final decision, she's recommended that that it's unconstitutional, but the final decision for approval rests with Judge William Young, the district court judge, who will hear the case on March 5th. So,
yeah, it'll be an interesting case to watch. You know, I think, again, as this is becoming, you know, an issue that we're addressing in the community around conversion therapy, that it'll be a case to watch, and we'll see, you know, how to best defend folks from these types of laws, from conversion therapy that, you know, really aren't necessarily rooted in science and,
right.
And
right.
You know. So.
I'm surprised people are still trying to do it. But now, internationally, so here's good news, and this is kind of surprising. This is in Mumbai, the commercial capital of the country. Mumbai is the country, right? Yeah, so it's the city, Mumbai, as well? Mumbai? I don't know. Anyway, I should know that. The commercial capital of the country celebrated its first Pride parade after the Supreme Court decriminalized homosexuality in September of last year. So they did this on Saturday. Hundreds of people were seen marching with a wave of colors. And so members of the LGBTQ community, along with other participants, came forward in solidarity to support the community's rights. So that's awesome. So that's amazing. And then finally, and this is the end of my little news, fun and an unimportant file, okay? With the influx of new development in tons of apartments, Cheshire Ridge Road is changing, we know this. So one longtime business on the strip catering, the article that I read says it caters to the LGBT customers, but I don't think it's just them. But we're talking about Southern Nights, which is basically on the corner of Cheshire Bridge, kind of between Cheshire Bridge and Lenox. I think it's on the corner of Cheshire Bridge and Woodland or something. But anyway, you've probably seen it. This building, they decided to undergo a complete renovation. They just finished it, and it's 4,700 square feet. They didn't increase the footprint, but basically they're trying to get a little bit more timely. They tweaked its merchandise to stay ahead of changing consumer tastes. Basically, think more toys and less movies.
Interesting.
Isn't it, though? But not really. When I was a kid, Eric, I used to go to that place many years ago, As part of a research study. Exactly. I wasn't, yeah, okay. Yeah. But anyway, but now, of course, everybody just streams whatever that stuff is that I've never seen.
Right.
But anyway, all right. So, fun and unimportant. So, with that, we'll take another little break here, and we'll be back to talk with Eric in just a moment. I think you'll like this next one.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long week while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
Well, I got this when I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called an Uncle Congressman, and he said, all right, there ought to be a law. He sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while the congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me.
This is Jules, host of Americana Pie, letting you know that WRSG's Americana in the Park celebration returns on March 3rd for a fourth straight year at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park. And we want to invite you to become an Americana in the Park sponsor. Sponsorship packages are affordable and will put your name or the name of your company or organization in front of WRSG's loyal listeners. For more information, please go to our website, wrsg.org, and click on the Americana in the Park sponsorship link on the front page. And while you're there, check out all the great Georgia artists we have lined up for this year's show. Please join us at our fourth annual Americana in the Park celebration on Sunday, March 3rd at the Park Tavern in Atlanta, Piedmont Park. The doors will open at noon and the music will start at 1. We'll wrap things up by 6 p.m. Tickets are $15 in advance via WRFG.org or $20 at the door. Kids under 12 get in free. Proceeds benefit WRFG 89.3 FM, your independent community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality news. Okay, see you there.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long week while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
I love that. All right, we are back. You are listening to, for those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG-FM Atlanta. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking with Eric Polk of Georgia Equality about the work that Georgia Equality does, as well as what we can expect from the Georgia Assembly this year. So we are back, and how are you doing? Are you good, Eric?
I'm good. I really enjoyed that previous selection.
Oh, yeah, the I'm Just a Bill.
Yeah, I love it.
Was it Sesame Street, or where did we see that? Maybe it was Electric Company? I don't remember.
I think it was Electric Company.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Electric Company was like the cool version of Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Parker Family was a cool version of the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch, yeah.
Yeah, we're killing each other. Okay, that's awesome. So what I want to do is spend a little bit of time talking. Well, first of all, I want to hear about you. So tell us a little bit about your history and how you got involved with the Equality Project and dealing with issues related to policy.
Before coming to Georgia Equality, I was at Lamb Legal, so I'm a lawyer by training. And so the area that I focus on at Lamb Legal was HIV and the law. And so you know, I wanted to have the opportunity to really be more involved with, like, the people and the policy more broadly. And so my role at Georgia Quality allows for me to sort of, like, integrate the policy piece, so being down at the Capitol working on legislation. But it also allows me to be out in community, building coalitions, working with people, and really helping change hearts and minds as it relates to HIV. You know, policy is, like, only one part of it.
Right.
But we have to, like, change hearts and minds as well.
Definitely.
You know, my job definitely allows me to do that.
And he went to Morehouse, for those of you that are listening, that went to Morehouse. So, very cool school. All right. So I did, what I want to do for the next little bit here is just kind of go through a little bit about, yeah, I have some facts, some fun facts about, and you can correct me if any of these are wrong, but, all right, so let's see. So the first day of the Georgia General Assembly began actually this year on January the 14th, a little over 3 weeks ago, and so the General Assembly, which is basically the Senate and the Congress of the state of Georgia, was actually created in 1777 during the American Revolution, which makes it actually older than the U.S. Congress. There are 256 members, 180 of them are congressmen, 56 of them are senators, and at this point, there's more Republicans than Democrats, big surprise. There are 138 Republicans, and there are 78 Democrats. There's a couple of seats that are vacant right now, actually. There's two seats that are vacant. I didn't look into the details of that. But anyway, so they meet at the Capitol, which is here in Atlanta. But actually, that Capitol has moved four times. Do you know where it was originally?
I don't.
All right. Savannah. It originally started in Savannah. The Capitol's moved around. It moved, but it came to Atlanta in 1868. The average salary for a congressman, do you know that?
$17,000
a year, which might make you feel a little bit better about the fact that there's actually only 40 legislative days in the session. The session ends on March the 29th. So we're starting in the middle of January. We end on March the 29th. There's probably vacation days in the middle of that. And then that's all she wrote. Do they come there afterwards? Like, do they have offices there and are there all year? Or
they have offices, you know, things like study committees. So, yes, they have offices. They're doing work during off session.
Are you or Jeff Graham is the executive director of the Equality, of Georgia Equality. Do you or Jeff go down there when legislation's not in session? Are people there all year?
We don't go down there when we're not in session.
I see.
But there are some representatives who are, you know, working throughout the year, constituent services, that sort of thing.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do these people live here, or they just come in on Tuesday and leave on Thursdays? Or?
Well, some of them don't. Some of them do.
Of course.
You know, the folks who are, like, sort of local.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the folks are coming in and working.
Okay. All right. So, I guess what I want to ask you is, and I know there's not a lot of legislation going on right now that is necessarily affects the queer community, but what would you see as the most pivotal piece of legislation that's been put forward in this session?
I think right now it's HB 19. Is
HB, House Bill.
House Bill 19.
Okay.
Representative Sandra Scott. She's a Democrat out of Rex, Georgia, which is like an hour south of Atlanta, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this would do is provide protections for folks in housing, in public accommodation, and employment based on gender identity and sexual orientation.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know that in this state, people don't know this. You can fire someone for being gay.
Yeah.
Totally can, or transgendered, or whatever.
Yeah.
but which is shocking to me. How can that possibly be, you know, still in the books? Why have we not passed?
How many states?
Now I'm really going to test you, but are there other states that have this protection that Georgia doesn't?
There are other states who have this protection, so there are only three states that don't have comprehensive civil rights legislation, and so we're one of those.
Are you kidding me?
So,
well, what are we talking, Mississippi and Alabama?
Mississippi and, I believe, North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising. North Carolina's kind of, they've always been a little bit tamer than Alabama. That's surprising. But maybe there was such an uproar with civil rights. Well, wait, is there LGBT civil rights in Alabama, I wonder? I can Google it.
We can Google it.
Google is an amazing thing. All right. But, okay, so, and so what's the legislation called again? It's 19, but what's
it? It's House Bill 19, and it's a comprehensive civil rights bill.
And what do you think the chances are that that's going to pass?
Well, you know, the hope is that there will be Republican legislators who will maybe come on and co-sponsor the bill with Representative Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this has been an issue that Georgia Poly has been working on for a number of years. And so legislation has been sponsored and brought forward, advanced previously.
Yeah, how many times has this thing come up? It's more than once.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think as we have comprehensive civil rights conversations more often,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, there are elected officials who are sponsoring bills, I think we start to sort of, again, do the thing of changing the hearts and minds and maybe getting people more on board.
I can't imagine what the argument against it would be. Have you encountered that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think a lot of it is tied with some of the things around, like, refer bills and, you know, and religion. So I think all of those things sort of play a part in why some of these things haven't already been advanced.
I guess there's an argument based on religious beliefs. Of course, you know, we kind of hopped right over this one and got marriage. And I remember having a discussion about this civil rights, maybe not this bill, but a bill like it, probably 5 or 6 years ago, and people in the state legislature were saying, let's not go for marriage equality. That's the bridge too far right now. Let's just focus on getting protections against people in the workplace and in housing. And then all of a sudden, I'm still amazed that we can get married. I'm still amazed.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, marriage is a big deal, a big win. It was one of the issues that, you know, Georgia Poly had also worked on. And so, you know, it's really about advancing legislation that, you know, protect the LGBTQ community, and understanding that, you know, we're all entitled to the rights and the protections. And so, you know, what this bill does is it does that, and it provides those protections that we need for folks in the community.
All right. And what is the name of the representative that put that out there?
It's Sandra Scott.
Sandra Scott, okay. And so I assume this works just like it would with any other bill. It goes through Congress first and then on to the Senate.
Right.
Okay. So, but it may not even be brought up for a vote, I assume.
Right. And so, you know,
what can we do to help?
Well,
with that?
You know, I think it's always great to reach out to your elected officials, let them know that this is a bill that's important to you, why it's important. You know, I always think that personal stories are great. You know, maybe you've had someone in your family who's been impacted by one of these laws. You know, I know for me growing up, one of my mom's good friends was, you know, she was a waitress, and he was a waiter at the restaurant with her. And so he was often mistreated in the workplace, but was afraid to complain or say anything because he was afraid to lose his job.
Oh, wow.
And so many people live in fear.
Yeah.
and folks just can have to live in fear.
Yeah, definitely, definitely not. All right, so for those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Alternative Perspectives. I'm your host, Greg Boston, and we are speaking with Eric Polk of Georgia Equality about the work that Georgia Equality does, as well as what we can expect from the General Assembly this year. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Equality Project. I keep calling it the Equality Project. It used to be called the Georgia Equality Project, and now it's just called Georgia Equality. But the project, I guess, sounds like it has an end date.
It sounds a little temporary.
This is most definitely not. All right, well, we will be back momentarily. Perspectives on WRFG 9.3 FM on your dial. Stay tuned. We are back. All right, Eric. So, for those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Alternative Perspectives, and I'm your host, Greg Boston. We are speaking with Eric Polk of Georgia Equality. And so, Eric, tell us a little bit about Georgia Equality, what its history is, its mission, really whatever you want to say about it, so people can know.
So Georgia Equality is the largest LGBTQ policy and advocacy organization in the state. And so our work really is about, advancing good policy and legislation to support LGBTQ folks and people who are living with HIV. So essentially, Georgia Equality is sort of broken up into two organizations. We have a C4 side, which is about getting fair-minded elected officials elected to office.
And so, for those of you just don't know, so a 501c4 is a designation of a nonprofit, and a 501c4 is a nonprofit that does lobbying, I guess, or political action.
Right, and can endorse candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we have a C4 side that does those things. And then on the C3 side,
C3 is just a traditional charity like you would normally think of any charity, but go ahead.
Yep. And on that side, we do our voter registration work. We do trainings. The HIV work that I do is also a part of that side, and just general sort of community advocating and organizing, all the sort of things that we do on the C3 side.
What would you say is, I guess, the biggest, where the majority of the time is spent on with your regular charity work? Is it on HIV these days?
So I'd say that HIV is pretty much three large groups. So I say HIV, our trans work, and our work around voter registration.
Yeah, when I ran for I ran to be a delegate in 2008. And part of what I did was I went to Blake's, the big gay bar in Atlanta, on Sunday afternoons, and I registered voters for weeks as a way to kind of get people involved, and also hopefully if they lived in my district and they could come and they could vote for me. But that's kind of a fun way to meet people. But how do you guys go about doing that, registering voters?
So a lot of it is during the year during festivals. Mm-hmm. So we get all the big pride festivals. Any opportunity that we have to go out and table somewhere, mm-hmm. we register folks to vote. If I'm having an HIV-specific event, I also, register people to vote. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the easiest ways to sort of get people engaged in the process, in the political process. And so we want to make sure that people have, the avenues to do that.
Yeah, people spend an inordinate amount of time, energy, and effort talking about, complaining about, writing about, political views or their views on policies or their views on candidates, and it's like none of it means anything if you don't vote. I mean, what? How can you not vote? And I do think that in 2020, I think we're going to see more voters than have ever been in the history of voting. I think it's going to be through the roof.
I hope so.
How do we not participate, in this particular junction? Either you love them or you hate them, but, I don't know how you can't vote, coming up. So that's awesome. So I wonder how someone does. I guess they can just go online and register to vote these days.
Yep, you can go online and register. You can go to the Secretary of State website, mm-hmm. and you can sign up to register there.
So, we got a little bit on a tangent here. So, how long did you say Georgia Equality has been in existence?
So, we're going to be turning 25 next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And how many staff people do you have now?
Oh, we are a small but mighty group.
Yeah.
So, currently, it's six of us.
Six of us. Yeah. And volunteers. And then Jeff Graham, the executive director. How long has he been with the organization? A long time, probably 20 years or something.
Yeah, Jeff has been at Georgia Equality for a while, but mm-hmm. also at AIDS Survival Project.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I remember that organization.
And so, when we do have conversations about, the HIV work, mm-hmm. Jeff is one of the folks, who in the Atlanta community has always been an advocate and activist around those issues.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what are the long-term goals, I guess? You got marriage done. Probably there's a lot of work to be done. Well, this deal with civil rights and, protecting people in employment and housing. What was the third arm that you said that bill?
Public accommodations.
Oh, so hotels.
Anything that's open to the public.
Okay. All right. Okay, that makes sense. There's that. There's probably a lot of work in the transgender community that needs to take place now.
Yeah.
As well.
I think that if we could get comprehensive civil rights legislation, that would be a huge win. It's mm-hmm. well overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, a lot of our focus and energy.
Yeah, it needs to be, for sure. One of the states in the entire country. That's something to be proud of, for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I've heard a lot about Georgia Equality for years. Where would somebody go to find out more about it? I guess the website, which is GeorgiaEquality.org, I assume?
GeorgiaEquality.org.
Okay. All right. You can go there. And of course, you have this event coming up on Thursday, which we'll talk about in a second. So we're going to talk a little bit more with Eric in a few minutes. We are going to take a short break. You are listening to Alternative Perspectives, and I'm Greg Boston, your host, and we're speaking to Eric Polk of the Equality Project, and we'll be right back.
Hey now, it's Russ from Russville and the Moonshiners. We're looking forward to playing WRFG's 4th Annual Americana in the Park Celebration. It's going to be Sunday, March 3rd at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park. See you there.
I couldn't say it better myself. Russville and the Moonshiners is only one of the great acts you'll enjoy at WRFG's 4th Annual Americana in the Park Celebration. This year we're honoring our station manager, Joan Banks. It's our way of saying thank you, Joni, for all your hard work and dedication to WRFG and independent community radio. So who will be performing for you on Sunday, March 3rd? Well, it's your quartet with their thrilling mix of romantic gypsy jazz, American swing, and original blues. The Ghost Riders Car Club, playing authentic country music straight from the redneck underground. Original country rock from the award-winning Rustville and the Moonshiners, and direct from Adairsville, Georgia, 16-year-old yodeling cowgirl, Kathleen Post. Vocal legend Frank Hamilton will make a special guest appearance, and the Seed and Feed March of the Abominable will kick things off as only they can. Please join us for the 4th Annual Americana in the Park Celebration on Sunday, March 3rd at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park. The doors open at noon. Starts at 1. We'll wrap up around 6. Americana in the Park tickets are $15 in advance through WRFG.org, or $20 at the door, just under 12, getting free. The Park Tavern is located at the corner of 10th Street Northeast and Monroe Drive, right next to Atlanta's Piedmont Park. All proceeds benefit WRFG 89.3 FM, independent community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality news.
You're listening to WRFG, also with their perspectives, 89.3 on the dial, Atlanta. This is Alternative Perspectives. I'm Craig Boston, and we are speaking to Eric Polk of Georgia Equality. Now, Eric is the HIV Policy Director?
Organizer.
Organizer? Director? Czar?
Czar.
Czar. Yeah, we'll go with Czar. I think that's perfectly reasonable. So I want to spend the time that we have left talking a little bit about some of the initiatives that the Equality Project has planned for 2019. And why don't we start with, I guess, just some of the needs that are here. First, I'll just talk about these. So we have HIV criminalization reform. So apparently there's a report to be out. So can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so in Georgia, it is a felony for a person who's living with HIV to not disclose their HIV status before engaging in a sexual act with another person. And so we're looking to modernize the law here in Georgia and make it not a felony, hopefully, and include some other protections for folks who are living with HIV. We feel like people shouldn't be criminalized based on their HIV status. The report that's coming out next week is some research from the Williams Institute. They're out of California. and they've done a report specifically around HIV formalization in the state of Georgia. And so this is the second year that we've worked with them on releasing a report. And it just talks about who's impacted in the state. A lot of the cases actually happen in the rural areas of Georgia. And so we want to make sure that we have data and statistics and facts when we're going to our legislators and advocating to change these laws.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, I'm sure.
I think they just changed it in California, didn't they?
They just changed it in California.
Yes, yes. And so, because I saw some people on Facebook about that. So I guess, you know, at a personal level, I guess this is to a certain extent like abortion, I guess. At a personal level, it feels, if I was HIV positive, I would feel like I needed to disclose that information. But also, the person who is, you know, deciding to engage sex, you know, they engage in sex that's not HIV positive, I guess the other person, you know, I guess the onus is on them to practice safe sex.
Well, and, you know, what we want to, one, because these laws aren't necessarily based in science.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, this is a non-disclosure law.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about transmission. And in most cases, there's no transmission that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're criminalizing people for acts that other people do, and there's, you know, little recourse.
No, well, I assume with all kinds of sexually transmitted, you know, STIs or is it STIs or is it
STIs? STIs. And you know,
what's the I stand for?
Infections.
Oh, okay.
So we have to keep in mind that these laws were created at the height of the HIV epidemic.
Did it only apply to HIV, these laws?
Only applies to HIV.
So syphilis, gonorrhea, all those other things, not a problem.
Right.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, for sure. I wonder how many states still have laws on the books that make that a felony.
So there are 34 states across the country that still have these laws.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely an effort among states to change these laws and reform them.
And you'll find people in our core community that think that it should be a felony.
Right. And, you know, part of, you know, changing the legislation, like, you know, I said before, is also having community conversations around how these laws stigmatize folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you can't have a conversation about HIV criminalization without having conversations about access to health care.
Right.
So there are a number of sort of intersectional things that are happening that, you know, it's a very nuanced conversation.
Yeah, well, the emphasis is on punishment rather than education.
Right.
You know, kind of the same thing with the city detention center, of course.
Yeah.
But to replace that, you know, I can see the similarities. All right. So access to syringe service programs. And this is for, like, needle exchanges for people that are addicted to drugs, but yet you don't want them to get HIV on top of it, I guess.
Right. So being able to provide folks with clean syringes,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who inject drugs. We want to
crystal, I would guess, or meth. I don't know what it is. Heroin.
Heroin.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we are protecting folks, marginalized folks, and making sure they have access to clean syringes,
mm-hmm.
And not make it a felony for syringe exchange programs to do their work.
Yeah, there's a nonprofit here that does that in Atlanta.
The Atlanta Harm Reduction
Center. Yeah, the Harm Reduction Center. Yes, yes. All right, so and I want to make sure that we have time, so I'm going to skip to this a little bit. Tell me what's going on Thursday.
So on Thursday we have our HIV Lobby Day at the Capitol. We're going to start up at 8:30, actually at City Council Chambers, and we're going to have breakfast, and we're going to do a brief, like, legislative training and talk about some of these HIV-related issues.
Who's coming to this?
So this is for the community. This is for folks in the community to come out and take the opportunity to speak to their elected officials about important issues related to HIV.
So you're having you're convening a meeting in the morning. Anybody that wants to come and help out, you're kind of volunteering for the day or for however long you want to.
Well, you're gonna come out in the morning. We're going to do a training with you. We'll have breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll figure out who your elected official is. And we'll walk over to the Capitol, and you'll have the opportunity to talk to your elected official.
Is that something that they plan for?
They get a heads up that we're coming. You know, a lot of different organizations do issue-related lobby days, and so this is our HIV lobby day.
Okay. Are there people from all over the state?
People from all over the state will come. You know, right now we have about 120 folks who are registered to come out. We're still registering people up until Thursday. So, you know, I think the more folks that we can have come out and talk to their elected officials about these issues, the better. It's really about the personal stories. You know, I think those are the things that really change folks' minds.
Is there anything in particular that you're wanting people to have as a message, like a particular piece of legislation or something that you're trying to...
Well, there's not a bill right now that we're specifically focusing on. Hopefully, some of these issues that we've talked about, like HIV criminalization and syringe access, there will hopefully be a bill sponsored by someone this legislative session. But right now, we are sort of doing general advocacy around very important HIV-related issues.
Yeah, I noticed one thing. There's an extremely high maternal HIV transmission rates. We're the highest in the U.S.?
We're number two.
And one of the highest in the world?
Yeah.
Wow. So there's apparently a program in Florida to address the issue. And what we're talking about is a parent transmitting to a child.
So the mother to child, yes.
And that's happening. And when you said we were talking about the city of Atlanta or Fulton County or Georgia?
Georgia.
Oh, okay. It's one of the highest. We're number two in the country.
We're number two in the country.
Why is that?
You know, we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And so that's why we want to create and have legislation that is in place that addresses the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Using a model out of Florida, which makes sure that mothers have access to the prenatal care that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that there isn't transmission of the baby.
Yeah, so you need to find out that you're pregnant, you need to get tested. And then if it turns out you are HIV positive, is there some sort of drug or something or a series of medications that you take to prevent the child?
Mm-hmm.
Is it basically PrEP or a form of PrEP?
It's basically a form of HIV meds that the mother essentially will be on HIV meds, which will prevent the transmission to the baby.
Okay. All right. Well, that I think that just about does it. Is there anything in particular you want to say before we sign off? Any famous last words? Or
not famous last words, but definitely for folks to visit Georgia Equality's website. Register for the event on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the more people that we can have advocating around these issues, I think the more success we have in advancing some of these bills.
I mean, you wouldn't even necessarily, if you couldn't stay for the day, you could still go in the morning, learn, find out who your legislature is, and then you could call them or write them later if you didn't want to stay for the day. But I think it's something that's really important to do. And that breakfast is at 8:30 in the morning?
It's at 8:30.
Okay. Now, what kind of food do we have in here? Are we talking, you know, is this like just donuts and a banana? Or are we talking like crepes? What do you got?
So before I came over, Highland Bakery is
really?
Breakfast.
Oh, okay. All right.
So some good food.
And you don't have to wait for 3 hours.
Well, you know, they'll be training, and then we'll walk over and do the lobby.
You don't mean wait for 3 hours to get fed.
To get fed, no.
Oh, if you go on a Sunday to brunch at Highland Bakery, it's quite a view over there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. You are quite a pleasure. So we have been listening to Eric Polk. Georgia Equality, and be sure to go to the website, GeorgiaEquality.org, and show up on Thursday morning. Why not? I wonder if they just showed up and didn't do anything. You'd probably be okay with that, but you'd rather have them register. register.
I'd rather have them register, but, you know, if not, come by, please.
Yeah, actually, if you want, you can just go to Eric's apartment or his house. But give me my address, and I'll go up there. I think that would be, I think this is probably a pretty good idea. All right, so we have been, you've been listening to Alternative Perspective. I am your host, Greg Boffin. You're listening to WRFG 89.3 FM. Next up, we have What the Folk? I think we have What the Folk. What the Folk? Pike State Festival. I need to learn this stuff. I really do. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Next week, I will actually not be on air. So we will be subbing for me. And then the week after that, the 19th of February, and we're going to have a show on pornography. So we actually have a founder of a fairly large porn family, and then we also have a model here to talk. So that should be interesting. Anyway, I will talk to you later. Thanks for listening.